Get ready for the greatest roast of all time. The Roast of Tom Brady. A Netflix live event happening May 5th. Hosted by Kevin Hart. The seven-time world champion gets his cleats held to the fire by famous friends and frenemies on an unforgettable night where everything is fair game. Tune in on May 5th at 5 p.m. Pacific time for The Roast of Tom Brady. Live only on Netflix.
The MMA Gambling Podcast on the Sports Gambling Podcast Network is presented by WynnBET. WynnBET is now live in Colorado, Indiana, Michigan, New Jersey, Tennessee, and Virginia. From boosted parlays to in-game odds on every major sport, WynnBET has what you need to win. Sign up today and receive a $500 risk-free bet. Download the WynnBET app now or visit WynnBET.com and start winning today. We're also brought to you by PropSwap, America's number one app to buy and sell sports bets. Use promo code SGP on your first deposit and receive up to $500 in bonus cash. That's PropSwap.com, promo code SGP. And next, we're brought to you by PicksWise. PicksWise is the number one app for free sports betting picks, props, and parlays. Download the free PicksWise app now to make your next bet better. And finally, we're brought to you by OddsCrowd. Are you the best football bettor in the United States? OddsCrowd challenges you to prove it with their free-to-play fantasy betting contest. Over $30,000 is up for grabs over the course of the season. Go to OddsCrowd.com to sign up. And finally, do not forget to download the SGPN app. It is available now in the Google Play Store and in the App Store. Make sure you download it to get our podcasts, our news, all of our picks right in the palm of your hand. Cannot suggest it enough. That's the SGPN app wherever it is you download apps.
Hi-yo, Degenerinos, and welcome to the MMA Gambling Podcast on the Sports Gambling Podcast Network, episode 72. And I figured, since we have to dedicate it to the number to a special someone every week, or every episode, I figured, since my associate co-host is a New England backstop catching legend, I figured I'd dedicate it to another of a fellow New England backstop legend in Carlton Fisk, who is warden number 72 for the Chicago White Sox back in the day. So there you go. Welcome to the podcast. I will be your host, Jeff Ox. Some call me Juicy Jeff. Some call me Shock Juice is the new one. You can call me whatever you want, but just don't call me an associate host because I am the actual host of this here podcast. Thank you for jumping in with us. We got another exciting show for you, of course, on the Sports Gambling Podcast Network. If you are listening to us on the SGPN network, if you could find our feed for the MMA Gambling Podcast and start listening on that, subscribing on that, and then you can get us fresh out of the oven. Every episode hops into that one before it goes on to SGPN. So yeah, you definitely want our picks the second we drop them, because we affect the lines, as we figured out last week with the Dana White Contender Series. After we gave out a bunch of bets, the lines changed drastically. So obviously, either my associate co-host put a whole bunch of money down, or someone's listening. So, but maybe a bit of both. So let's actually introduce that guy who I've been talking about here. Like I said, he is a New England catching legend, just like Carlton Fisk. He's the prettiest purple belt on the planet. What else can I tell you about him? I thought I had something else. I think he used to wrestle with bears as a child too, just like Khabib. I think that there's something to do with bears in his past, I think. But other than that, he's on a heater along with myself. Since we're not going to count our Contender Series picks, then he is officially still on the heater. His name would be Daniel Gumby, a.k.a. Barney Gumble Vreeland.
Hey, so I'm going to tell you from the perspective, and now granted, I am not a Red Sox fan, so I could give two shits about this, but from the perspective of knowing a lot of people who are very passionate about the Red Sox and very passionate about their catchers, because for some reason Red Sox fans really love catchers, see Jason Veritek and Scott Hattieburg for more information, They hate the fact that anybody would say Carlton Fisk ever even wore 72. It's like heresy.
Yeah.
Yeah, he's 27 and only 27 yep. forever.
Well, he wore 72 for White Sox. Sorry.
But you can't do a shout out to Boston and then say 72 Carlton Fisk. Ooh. Ooh.
Fine.
Double
this
oop.
Episode is this
give it
double
a, oop? Give it to William the Refrigerator Perry. He's 72.
No, I'm going to give it to Mario Lemieux. This one goes out to Mario Lemieux.
Did he also wear a set? No, or are you just you're just shitting on me because I messed
up? Yes, every episode's going to be Mario Lemieux if I can't find someone for it.
Mario Lemieux for wearing number 115.
Exactly. Yeah, it's going to be interesting once we get above – well, 99 is an obvious one, but once we get past 99, once we get in triple digits, I'm going to have to get
recycle. When we hit, like, you know, 114, you just talk about somebody with 14.
Oh, okay, cool.
Or some sort of career accolade that has 100 in it, right? Like,
that's true.
You know, 116, the number of career home runs of, like, some obscure-ass baseball player who only got 116.
Number of black belts Dan Vreeland's tapped out, 127.
It's three, I think, to be fair.
Oh, you actually know that, do you?
Maybe four. It's not
four more than me though, so that's not too shabby. So, what did you tap him out with? I think Gogol Plata is your go-to move, is it not?
It is, three of them were Gogol Plata's.
Wow, yeah. Listen to this guy. The
other one was a heel hook.
I was going to say heel hook, and it was. Wow, you're going after people's knees. You're a mean guy.
Yeah, but when you tap a black belt with a heel hook, they tap. When you tap a purple belt with a heel hook, they let their knee explode.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, not cool. So did you watch the boxing last night? I did not. I guess I don't even think we can really call it boxing. Did you watch the pretend stuff last night?
I think you can call what two of those men were doing boxing, but they weren't even in the same boxing match.
And they aren't boxers also?
And I don't know. Is Anderson Silva a boxer at this point? Because he did box Julio Cesar Chavez Jr., right? Like he did box a boxer and beat a boxer before boxing a wrestling-based MMA fighter and beating the pants off of him.
Yep.
I did see a couple of people on Twitter saying it looked fixed, and I was like, either that or you're watching a 40-year-old wrestler who thought he could box without any real boxing training box. Like, of course it looked fixed. He's bad at boxing. It looked fixed when Ben Askren went down too, and it was a wrestler who didn't train boxing trying to box. It would look the same as the person on Twitter who was claiming that tried to box. So anyway, I did watch it.
Wow, you were desperate, eh? Hard up for
combat. I didn't pay for it. I didn't pay for it, nor did anybody I know. I would say that what I did see, because I only watched the last two, was like exactly what you would expect, right? Like Anderson Silva was a better boxer. I'm glad he knocked him out and didn't just like clown him. Because if he clowned him for eight rounds and it went to decision and he won all eight rounds, you would have never heard the end of Tito Ortiz. Like he's already talking about like calling out other people like Logan Paul or whatever. Yeah, like, dude, you just lost in 90 seconds. Like,
yep.
Come on, man. Like, who wants to box? I mean, like, maybe people do want to box him now, but, like, you imagine just, like, waking up from a nap like that and being like, oh, I wonder who I could box next? Like, just never box again. Go back to being on city council.
maybe he's knocked some sense into him, though, possibly, right? Maybe he's into masks now and vaccines and stuff, perhaps.
Somehow I doubt that. Yeah.
Probably not.
I think probably not. I think he's probably right back on the underground forums of which he came.
Yes, true. So you must have been really hard up for combat sports if you watched that. Did you
watch it? It was a bad weekend, man. It was.
We talked about it last episode. We were clowning on what was on tap. So did you watch any of the events that we mentioned last episode, any of the super underground regional or international events that we kind of highlighted last podcast?
You know, I caught a little bit here and there of like events when like I saw they were on and I
again, I'm not paying for any of them, and I apologize if that makes me a bad person. I did catch a little bit of some of the results and, like, some highlights afterwards. But, yeah, no, I couldn't, like, bring myself to be like, and I really want to spend a whole weekend watching. Because there just wasn't anything big, which is weird. I mean, Fury FC is usually good, but, like, even their lone, like, fight, somebody didn't make weight. And so, like, that was kind of – that always bums you out. Like, their title fight's no longer a title fight. Yeah, no, I didn't – man, I just watched 56-year-old Evander Holyfield not able to keep up with a 40-year-old, which I guess makes sense because, you know, he's really fucking old at this point.
Yep, and he's been hit a few times in the old noggin of his.
Just a couple.
Yeah, but Dan's bringing this podcast down with a depressing weekend. Is there anything you hate? We started off last podcast with everything that you hated. Is there anything that you hate that we haven't mentioned? You haven't mentioned yet.
No, I
you're good right now.
Barbara's not fighting for a while, so.
Oh, I think I have a feeling she's going to be mentioned in today's podcast.
Oh, Jesus! You can't. Okay, well we'll get to that when we get to that.
I listed a bunch of fighters, and she may or may not be on the list.
I'll chastise your list when we get there. All right. You know what? You know what's good? Because I caught this only by somebody putting a GIF of it up on. We'll do things I like this week instead of things I hate.
Okay, that's good. That's better.
Somebody threw up a GIF of Nazemulu Zulu from the Ultimate Fighter from years ago.
Yes.
He won the flyweight championship for EFC with a guillotine. It was pretty nice. He looked really good.
Yeah.
Or at least in the 7 seconds that got GIFed, in the 7 seconds prior to that got GIFed. So they had like 7 seconds of him boxing and then 7 seconds of him hitting a guillotine in the second round. So, yeah. It would be fun to see him get another shot at the UFC or something. Like, he could fight in the fucking Contender Series. One of the only guys that beat him is supposed to fight in the Contender Series. So, hey, give him one, too.
Based on 14 seconds of scouting video, Dan says he's UFC ready.
Well, I liked him on
the Contender. I know, I'm joking.
joke if you want, but, like, when he was on The Ultimate Fighter, he lost to the guy who went to the finals, and it was, like, a terrible style matchup. Ogikobu is, like, a freaking really good Japanese wrestler, and he's up against the guy who, like, wants to kickbox and have a Muay Thai fight. So, of course, he just got smothered. But, like, not every flyweight is just going to smother you. Like, the tops of that division are going to smother you. But, like, a lot of the guys who are, like, in the fringe of the top 15 or just outside of the top 15 – do want to just bang, you know, like he might have a fun fight with somebody like Tyson Nam or something like that.
You're already a fantasy booking him. Perfect. Sign him up. Plus we can use it. We need more cool names in the UFC. So,
you're going to have some good ones coming up on Contender Series. Cause I'm going to be honest. I was looking at this list and I was like, this is Jeff's nightmare.
This is going to be fun. All right. Let's actually get to that. But instead of depressing people with a weekend with not much to watch, we'll actually break down some real good, hopefully good fights, usually the good fights, but coming up on Tuesday. Before that, let me tell you about WynnBET. You're ready to win money and boost your odds. WynnBET is now live in Colorado, Indiana, Michigan, New Jersey, Tennessee, and Virginia. We're bringing the excitement of Wynn Las Vegas to online sports betting and casino play. Exclusive rewards right at your fingertips. Get in on all your favorite teams, players, and sports from NFL, NBA, MLB, NHL, golf, MMA, WNBA, college football, and more. Great promos, odds, and payouts are happening right now at WynnBET. From boosted parlays to live in-game odds on every major sport, we have what you need to win. Ready to play? Sign up today to receive a special offer, risk-free $500 sports bet. Download, bet, and win. Download the WynnBET app now or visit wynnbet.com to start winning. While I'm on a roll, let's talk about PropSwap, too. We're brought to you by PropSwap, America's marketplace to buy and sell sports bets. Go and check out the new PropSwap.com. which is packed with fresh features like filtering tickets based on value to find the best odds available, browse the activity feed to stay in the know, a loyalty rewards program that turns sales into extra cash, and much more. Use the promo code SGP on your first deposit, and PropSwap will match it up to $500. If you love sports betting, you need to be using PropSwap. With PropSwap, your bet doesn't need to win in order to make money. It just needs to improve. And when you're making your bets, always make sure to go for two, make two tickets on the same team or a player, so you can sell one for a profit and keep one to leave yourself some skin in the game. Thousands of buyers across the country are shopping for tickets on PropSwap every today. Get started today by going to PropSwap.com or download the PropSwap app. PropSwap is where America buys and sells sports bets. All right, Dana White Contender Series rolling along. We're up to week number three from the UFC Apex this coming Tuesday, 8 p.m. And it's what? It's on UFC. I was on ESPN Plus, I take it, for you Yankees down in the States, right?
It is on ESPN Plus for the Yankees. Okay, cool.
All right. And it's on TSN and normal. It's on actual real live TV for us Canadians here, which is a nice, refreshing change. All right. And there are five fights. I hope they don't start.
Six fights.
No, six. That's what I meant. I'm sorry. I hope they don't start this like, oh, why don't we add another fight? Hopefully, like, one of the reasons I like it is because, you know, short and sweet and like four or five fights, but now they're up to six. Like, I don't want this to blow up to like 15 fight night cards every week. Okay, UFC?
Well, I think it only happened because, if I'm not mistaken, the heavyweight fight that's on this card was supposed to have happened during the first week when they only had four. Somebody tested positive or pulled out, and they were trying to rebook it to make it happen, or there was a visa issue or something like that. So I think this six fight card is just to make up for the fact that the first week was a four fight card. So in the first 3 weeks, we will still have 15, and then I think it will just be five from there on out.
All right, there we go. Dan has spoken. So hopefully that is the case. All right, that's do you know about most of these people, Dan?
I know about all of these people.
No, wow. I know basically nothing except Dan, I think, has told me about a few of them. So I haven't even done any research on them. So let's see. Opening bout, curtain jerker, women's flyweight, Jasmine.
Oh, I was waiting for this one. This is everything I was waiting for.
Jasmine DeVicious. It isn't that hard. Jasmine DeVicious?
Very close. Jasmine DeVicious. Yeah.
Oh, yeah, that's right. There's another I in there. Versus Julia Pollastri. That's not fun either. So we got Jasmine 5-1, Julia 8-2. What can you tell us about either of these ladies?
So Jasmine Jezudovicius is a prospect I've liked for a really long time. She's out of CFFC. She also fought for Cage Titans, which is in New England. So, like, two of my favorite regional promotions she's fought for. And the lone loss she had, which is to Elise Reed, she was the one who we just watched fight Sajara Eubanks and get absolutely dominated in.
Yep.
She lost a split decision to Elise Reed, but she didn't really lose a split decision to Elise Reed. She beat the pants off of Elise Reed, and somehow the judges gave the fight to Elise Reed. So I actually, mentally, in my revisionist history, as you know I love, have her as 6-0. She's the really fun thing about Jezuda Vicious is she's got, like, really exceptionally long arms. It's kind of almost, like, freaky how long her arms are, and she fights really well from a range, both in kicking and with her arms. You know, punches, leaves up the jab out there, doesn't get in close quarters. But even when she does get in close quarters, she got great knees, too. Like, she got a TKO by knees one time. She's fighting a woman who, in Plastery, who, like, likes to let them fly, too. So, like, I think you're going to see a really fun striking matchup, which is awesome. And she comes from Shooto Brazil, which is kind of like one of their better promotions down there, although they love mismatches in Shooto Brazil. They love giving men and women who look like to be on the path to the UFC somebody who's 0-1 or 3-2. So she's got a couple of those fights in there, and she looks hyper-aggressive, but she's also going to be giving up like 7 or 8 inches in reach to Jezuda Vicious, which is, first of all, as you always point out when we do the breakdown, it's just like too much reach to be giving up. And as I said, I really like how Jezuda Vicious uses her reach. And depending on the book you're looking at, Jezuda Vicious is either like just barely in the negatives or in the positives. It's almost a pick 'em on a lot of cards. So I actually think Jezuda Vicious is kind of like a pretty, as far as the six fights on this card go, probably one of my favorite plays on this one, because you're going to get a positive number or damn near close to it, and I think she's got a really good chance of winning this one.
You forgot to mention the most important thing about Jezuda Vicious.
Oh, she's Canadian! Yes!
She is. Of course. Actually, not too far from St. Catharines. Not too, you know, like, hour away from me, maybe, the most.
You know, so, this is like, yes. This with the exception of one fight on this card, there are only – oh, no, because there's a late replacement. Originally, when this card first came out, there were only two Americans on the whole
– oh, yeah.
Whole card, but there's a late replacement that's American too. So only 3 of 12 fighters, though, which is pretty crazy low for a
cool.
contender series.
Take that.
Because those used to be just exclusively yeah. like almost like Vegas or West Coast based American fighters.
Right. Yeah. So opener, we have a Canadian versus a Brazilian. Then we got a welterweight fight, Jack Della Maddalena versus Angie Lusa. Lusa is from Switzerland. I'm guessing Jack Della Maddalena is probably Brazilian with a name like that. No, Australian.
Australian. Yeah, he's an Australian dude.
Oh, yeah, I get Matthew Della Vadova in the NBA. That should have tipped me off.
Yeah,
another Della.
His name basically looks just like Matthew Della Vadova. Exactly. Della Maddalena.
All right, so we got Lucy's. That's a great name. He's 7-1. With 5 knockouts, 1 submission, never been finished. And then Della Vadova, Della Maddalena is 9-2 with 8 knockouts, 1 submission. And they are matching up in a welterweight battle. As for the lines, Lucy you can get for +135, Maddalena -140. Break this one here down.
I like Jack Della Maddalena. Oof, that's a mouthful. I like him quite a bit. If you've seen any of his fights, and he fights out of probably the best Australian promotion in Eternal MMA, although they got a couple other ones that are decent down there too. But Eternal MMA is like one of the ones you'll see a lot of people out of. He's fought mostly out of that, but also he had a Cage Warriors fight, which is like another nice little step up there. He is freaking violent and incredibly aggressive, dude. Like, he is one of those guys that, like, if he makes the UFC, and it turns out if you just win on the Contender Series, it doesn't matter how good you look and you get a contract. So if he wins this fight and winds up in the UFC, he's going to be one of those guys who you're just like, I can't miss a Jack Della Maddalena fight. Like, I just have to make sure.
What's his name again?
Jack Della Maddalena.
There you go.
Yeah, like, he's just so – it's, like, crazy forward action. His punches come in, like, nice combinations. Every single punch feels heavy. He's got great cardio, you know, like, even in, like, the second round, which – I mean, he's gone to the third round one time. But even when he comes out in the second round, he's still punching as hard as he did in, like, the first 4 seconds of the fight. I think that alone is going to be too much for Angelusa here because Lusa is a guy who, like, kind of picks his spots and is liked being the guy who, like, has really good footwork, so he backs people up in, like, good feints. And I just don't think, like, his feints are going to draw anything out of Maddalena other than, like, 85 punch combos and backing Lusa up against the cage. So I just think Lusa is going to have to fight a fight he doesn't like to fight. That's one off the back foot. And for that reason, I like Maddalena here. And again, I would say there's another set of odds here that I don't hate either because, you know, Jesuda Vicious comes out with a plus number. Maddalena, you know, what did you say the number you were quoting?
-140. I see a -140 to -160 is the range.
Currently. Yeah, and anywhere in that range I like to. I think
that was my next question. Good.
A lot of times when I'm looking at some of these odds, there's and I'm going to talk about two people very soon who I like and I'm going to pick, and I hate the lines, and I couldn't hate the lines more. These two, I like both of them, and I think the lines are kind of nice.
Listen to Maddalena's last 9 fights. He dropped his first 2 pro fights, and then
yeah, because he's 9-2 in a 9-fight winning streak.
Yeah, 9-fight winning streak, so which covers the past 5 years. Here are his results: knockout via elbow, TKO punches, TKO punches, submission, rear naked choke, KO punch, TKO punches, TKO doctor stoppage, TKO punches, KO punch. So. Yeah,
and that last KO for punches is, like, one to watch. He, like, absolutely puts Alden Bates out hard, which is actually funny, too. The guy he just knocked out, Alden Bates, that was back – well, not just knocked out. He did it in October in Eternal MMA. He knocked him out in 2 minutes. That's actually who he made his pro debut against, his very first loss. The guy was, like, 2-0, beat him in his pro debut, and now one was 8-2 and one was 6-2. They ran it back, you know, 5 years later, 4 years later, and he knocked him out in viciously too, like got his revenge.
There you go. That's the way you do it. So we got two picks that Dan seems pretty solid on to kick things off here. Let's move to the heavyweights, the aforementioned heavyweights that Dan mentioned. Got pushed ahead to this card. Dylan Potter, Lucas Brzezinski. something funny, Dan.
Your pronunciation of Polish names always gets me. It's Brzezinski.
Brzezinski. He looks like a model. Hoo-hoo-hoo. Look at his... His shirt
Dylan
on pictures.
Just, nah.
Big Papa. Big Papa Dylan Potter is from Olympia, Washington. And then, as Dan mentioned, Hot Lucas is from Poland. All right, Hot Lucas. He doesn't have a nickname, so that's his new nickname. All right, so he's 8-1-1 with 5 knockouts, 2 submissions. And Mr. Potter is 10-5, though I don't like the 5 there. He doesn't look like a model. He's 3 knockouts, 7 submissions on his record, so nothing but finishes for him. A lot of submissions too, which is impressive for a heavyweight. And then what did I say about Lucas? He's finished everyone except one person. And as for the line, we've got Hot Lucas is at -250. Mr. Potter is at +230. So what are you thinking about this one?
So I like Brzezinski quite a bit in this fight, but this is one of the ones I don't like the odds on. -250 seems kind of steep. Because you mentioned he's finished everybody, right? With actually the exception of
except one.
Two, because two if you count the draw, right? Because he's got a draw in there too.
Right, okay. Yeah.
And like, those are the two legitimate fighters he's fought. Mikal Kita, who's a fighter out of KSW, who's had a bunch of big level fights. He beat Igor Pokryak. He's beaten some like legitimate UFC level guys. And the other guy he didn't finish was Ednaldo Oliveira, which you might not remember Ednaldo Oliveira, but he was also a UFC veteran. His nickname was Squidward, although it was the Brazilian version of Squidward from SpongeBob. But
did he look like Squidward? I don't remember anyone that looked like Squidward in the NBA.
He was kind of like so you have to go way back to when he was in the UFC. He made his UFC debut against Gabriel Gonzaga at Aldo versus Mendez 1. That's when Aldo Oliveira was in there. And he wasn't like... So I think the reason they called him Squidward was because he's just kind of like amorphous. He's like one of those heavyweights that he's not fat. So we'll put it this way. He wouldn't have been a chunky guy. We wouldn't have gotten excited about Ednaldo Oliveira for being a chunky guy. But you know when we talk about guys being loose chunky?
Yes, I do know that.
He's loose but not chunky. So do with that what you will.
What does he think about sponges? Does he get annoyed by sponges and by starfish that live beside him?
Ednaldo Oliveira, probably. Yeah, I don't know.
Okay,
much
well, that's
SpongeBob,
a good nickname then.
So SpongeBob escapes me. So
really, you were like 10 when it came.
Yeah,
no, that's pretty
good. I didn't have Nickelodeon.
Oh, you didn't have TV
didn't have
though,
cable.
Right?
Yeah, did have was with like a antenna and a rotor. So like I got like Grainy Fox and then like NBC. ABC and CBS, they came in clear. And then I think I had UPN, which I'm pretty sure isn't even a channel anymore, but it played like Hanging with Mr. Cooper and stuff like that.
Oh, wow. Yeah. Okay, how do you know all the wrestling references I make then?
Well, so we used to get VHSs all the time Blockbuster or the really ghetto local video store we used to have that was out of a Chinese restaurant. There was a Chinese restaurant and a video store that shared it. So like all the DVDs or the VHSs, sorry, it wasn't DVD era yet. All the VHSs had like a faint smell of like Chinese food on them, which was
that's not a bad thing.
Yeah. I mean, like if you really enjoy Chinese food, I guess that's maybe a bonus. Back to our original point, because Ednaldo Oliveira is
fine.
He's not even fighting in this.
He's not even fighting.
My point is that Brzezinski is finishing guys who are bad. And when he has to fight a guy who's not bad, he can't finish. and that worries me because Dylan Potter is kind of durable, and despite being a guy who's not in phenomenal shape, like he'll never be accused of being in phenomenal shape, is kind of durable. Like he went three rounds with Anthony Freight Train Hamilton. Granted, he lost that fight, but like he went three rounds with Freight Train, who's known to knock people out. You know, like he is a fairly durable guy, so I don't know how that plays against Brezky. So as a result, I'm picking Brezky, but I am like a little tentative on like whether or not those odds are worth playing. Potter also, it's worth noting, is much smaller, like much smaller.
Yeah, he's usually a light heavyweight, right?
So he's kind of usually a light heavyweight. He's really young. That's the thing, is I think he's just been taking fights wherever he can get them because he's only 26. Which is incredibly young for a lightweight or a light heavyweight. Like, he'd be the youngest guy in the UFC in those two divisions if he won. But, yeah, like, I think he is just taking this at heavyweight because he's a late replacement. You know, Brezky, like right. I said, remember when I said somebody had to take a fight from the first Contender Series fight that was originally supposed to be a five-fight card? I want to be in a four-fight. It was supposed to be Brezky versus Lorenzo Hood, who's a guy off of PFL. And maybe even Contender Series once, but Lorenzo Hood is like, would have been a really fun fight with Brezky, and I might have even favored Hood because he's just got like better fights on his career. He fought like Alan Crowder, and he fought Curtis Blaydes back in the day, and like he's fought some like dudes. So I would have liked to see Lorenzo Hood versus Brezky, but now, you know, you get the short notice replacement. You know the stats as it goes with short notice replacements. Yep. It's just like, it's not going to be good for Potter for that reason and because he's so much smaller. But again, I don't like Brezky's finishing abilities against guys who are decent, and I think Potter is, he's at least decent.
All right, so we're you're leaning to the hot guy, but you're not committing your money to it.
I can't fade the chunky guy. It's hard to fade.
It is hard to do. It is. All right, so that's half of the card. Let me tell you about a couple more of our sponsors, and we'll break down the other half. PicksWise. PicksWise is the number one app for sports betting picks, home by a team of trend-watching, data-devouring sports fanatics, giving you the who, how, and why behind every prediction for every game, every day, and every sport, loaded with best bets, props, and parlays. You can find in-depth analysis in every game, all for free. Found your pick, search the latest sportsbook promotions, and sign up on an account. Compare the odds, and finally, place your bet. Download the free PicksWise app now to make your next bet better. PicksWise backs responsible gambling. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER, which I think spells gambler. We're also brought to you by Prize Picks. Turn your picks into real cash with Prize Picks, my favorite daily fantasy app. It's fast and it's easy, and it all starts with Prize Picks. Simply pick 2 to 5 players and decide if they will go over or under their stat projection. The more players you pick, the more you can win, up to 10 times your money. Prize Picks is the only way I play. How do your picks do tonight? Do you know, Dan, for the article you wrote for your Sunday Night Baseball, are any of those picks, are any of those picks worthy of a Prize Picks over or under?
So they were a little rough to begin with because one or two of the guys didn't wind up in the starting lineup, which there is a disclaimer in the article that you should check the starting lineup ahead of time. But for some reason, Brett Gardner didn't start, which threw my kind of picks into disarray because Brett Gardner was doing really well. But if, I would say that the ones that did play, you should have played the over on Javi Baez because I say he already has a hit and he was my captain for today. And the over on Michael Conforto. And maybe the under on any of the Yankees that I picked, because I picked some duds there. Gio Urshela seems to not be hitting yet at this point. Of course, I'm saying this as we're recording. He probably will get 4 hits later on in the game, and then I'll look even dumber. But yeah, under on Gio Urshela, over on Conforto and Javi Baez.
And if you did that and you bet $20, you win, you would get. You get paid out $100. That's like 5 times your money. That's called the power play option. So that works for me, that math there. Also, make sure when you're on the site, use promo code SGP, and you'll receive 100% instant deposit match of up to $100. That's Prize Picks, promo code SGP. All right, break down the last half of Dana White's Contender Series. Middleweights, Kyle Bittencourt, Albert Duraev. Bittencourt, actually, is Kyle Felipe Bittencourt da Silva. And Albert Duraev. Duraev, Dan.
Duraev.
Duraev. All right, let's see what I can tell you about these here gents. Duraev is 13-3. I can tell you that as the page loads up. All right, he's from Russia. 13-3, three knockouts, eight submissions. He's been knocked out himself three times. So that's the only way he loses this is via knockout. And did I mention this is middleweight? This is at middleweight for these gents. And he's 32 years old. Mr. Felipe Bittencourt da Silva is 14-6. So we're actually got some veterans here, kind of like last week's contender series. He's 30 years old. He's got 12 knockouts, two submissions. So all he does is finish fights. And he is from Brazil, and the Lions, yeah, this is a very international event we got here. The Lions, Bittencourt, plus 270, Duraev, minus 275. It's another big line. Is this the other line that you're not a fan of?
Yeah, it is. And I would actually say almost, if you're going to bet this fight at all, you should probably just bet the underdog. Because while I like Duraev, he's got some technical flaws in his striking game sometimes that just kind of bother me. He gets tentative and complacent. I don't like how he goes for takedowns, especially for how he's going to go against Bittencourt, who is super strong. Like he likes trips, and he likes like upper body trips, and he's up against the guy who's probably not going to let him close enough to trip him, and is very like Bittencourt. I don't know if you've seen a picture of him. He is the opposite of a chunky guy. He's built like a fucking house. So I'm gonna pick Duraev here, but I will say don't bet him. In fact, like I would say if there's value anywhere here, it's on Bittencourt. Bittencourt at 270 or 250 or wherever you're getting him. Because it's pretty much in that range, it's actually probably worth it because, you know, like you said, Duraev has lost three times, all of them being by knockout. Bittencourt has got really good one-punch power, and he's knocked, like, a bunch of dudes out with his one-punch power, including his last fight where he threw, like, this – it was, like, a short little uppercut that just seemed to, like, try to discourage somebody from a takedown. It wasn't even, like, he, like, loaded up on an uppercut. It was just, like, a little discouraging, like, don't shoot a takedown on me. And it put the dude out cold. He didn't even need to follow it up. And he was, like, almost surprised after hitting it because, like, that's the kind of power he has. So, like, I would say this. If you're thinking about betting every fight, which we obviously encourage you to do all the time, bet Bittencourt. It's worth it. Like he's fun to watch. And, like, you know, I'm not going to bet a guy at negative 300 that I'm not thrilled about. And I'm not thrilled about Duraev.
There you go. Bantamweights, Mo Miller, who Dan has spoken of before, versus Brandon Lewis. Boring names. They must be American guys, right?
They are
Americans, I take it.
The Mo Show?
Brandon Lewis fight.
The Mo Show Mo Miller is a boring nickname?
Is that I didn't get to this nickname part yet. No, it's the Mo
it's
Show.
It's the Mo Show.
I take it as teammate Stipe probably gave him that nickname. Stipe's a fun guy like that, right?
Brandon
Lewis has a
So I actually talked to him about working with Stipe, who's given him like a bunch of like mental help leading into this fight. He trains with him and Alexa Kamer. And used to train with Jessica I all the time, but he did get it from training partners who helped remind him when he goes to fights. By the way, he's on last week's edition of the Top Turtle podcast, which is where you can hear all this information. But part of why that nickname is there is he likes to go in with the mentality that everybody's in the building to watch him because you have to watch the Mo Show when the Mo Show's on.
Of course you do. Of course you do. All right. They're both 5-0. Brandon Lewis is nicknamed Superman, so look out for that. Two knockouts, one submission. Like I said, 5-0, last two fights were in LFA, which is impressive. It's basically the top regional promotion around, the top feeder promotion for the UFC. And then Mo Miller, the Mo Show, 5-0, also three knockouts, one submission. And he is from the Strong Style Fight Team, as Dan said. And he's also fought LFA the last two fights. Last fight, he won via knockout slam. So that's always impressive. As for the lines, the Mo Show, minus 330, Brandon Lewis, plus 315. So it's another mismatch, according to the lines, at least.
Yeah, and this is a big wide gap that maybe I don't love to play because I just, in general, don't like to play negative 300 lines. But I am thinking Mo Miller here, and I'm pretty confident in it because of those aforementioned takedowns, right? Like, you talked about him having a slam KO. He actually had, like, 7 or 8 different takedowns in that fight that could have knocked his opponents out, and the last one did it. Because this dude not just has, like, an amazing wrestling game, which you can kind of expect from a guy training with Stipe and Alexa Kamer, right? Like, he should have a good takedown game. He also trained from – or also wrestled for Notre Dame College, not Notre Dame University, Notre Dame College, which is kind of well-known for being, like, a junior – I think it's a junior college. Don't tweet at me if I'm wrong about that. But I think it's a junior college that has, like, had a lot of decent – wrestlers who, like, just weren't able to get to D1 or chose to go the junior college route because they couldn't get into D1 or, like, whatever. I think Cody Garbrandt actually went there for a year too. So, like, good wrestlers have gone to Notre Dame College. He's got great wrestling, but it's not just, like, he's really good at getting his opponents down. He's, like, really good at, like, elevating his opponents and dropping them on their heads, which is what he did to his last opponent, but it's what he's done to a bunch before. I would also say this, you know, like, you see this fight come up on the docket and you're like, 5-0 versus 5-0. Do either of them really deserve to be in the UFC? They both have, like, damn near close to double digit amateur fights too. Like, Mo Miller was on the amateur circuit for like 6 or 7 fights. I want to say Brandon Lewis, I think, had 8 or 9 fights, on the amateur circuit. So they're like very well traveled for only being 5-0, but I just don't think Lewis has got the wrestling defense to stop what Mo Miller is going to try to do. That being said, Lewis is kind of fun too, though.
There you go. And that will be our co-main event. Our main event, his name can't be pronounced Gelton, is it? Gelton Jr.?
It's Gelton.
Gelton. It's spelled Gelton, but yeah, Gelton Jr., from Brazil, of course. He is, oh, this is light heavyweight, I believe. Is it not? Yes, it is. So he is 13-2, 5 knockout date submission. So all he does is finish fights. Looks like he's fought exclusively in Brazil, which is, you never know what you're going to get. The Brazil regional scene's kind of, you can't really trust the results you see, as Dan said earlier, a lot of mismatches and stuff. He's fighting a man so nice and named him twice, Nazruddin Nazruddinov from Russia. He is 9-0, 4 knockouts, 1 submission, and he's fought mostly in ACA, Absolute Combat, AKMAT. And as for the line, that's right, I should tell you a line for this, shouldn't I? Nazruddinov minus 184 is the best I see him at, and then Gelton, I see him listed as Almeida also, but I think he's probably Almeida Jr. or something. But regardless, those Brazilians and their names, he's at plus 185. So what do you think of this one?
Yeah, so first of all, his name is Gelton Almeida. I don't think he's Gelton Almeida Jr., but also his nickname is not Jr. It's Mojadeno,
yeah.
which is – so I have no idea where Jr. comes from, but I had been introduced to him as Gelton Jr. by in like you know, like, he's been in a dozen articles by Sean Bitter, the like prospect guru guy, and I'll just say this, like, there's a reason he's been in all of those articles, is because, like, he is really good. Like, he is incredible. I'm like a big fan of him. He's very large, he throws very hard, and he's got very good jiu-jitsu, and including, he's got very good jiu-jitsu in a way that, like, is both suffocating, but also just, like leads people to giving their backup, or leads people to, he's got, you know, we mentioned Ednaldo Oliveira, earlier on in the show, having lost to Lucas Brezski, right, the Squidward dude. He's actually lost, he lost to Gelton Jr. as well, but Gelton Jr., put him out. He put him out with an arm triangle choke. And that's, he also beat Yuri Alcantara's little brother, Ildemar Alcantara. So, like, he's got multiple wins over UFC dudes. And again, he is just, like, he's a very big light heavyweight. He's 6'4", and he is, like, you're going to look at him and you're going to be like, how the hell did he make light heavyweight? It is crazy that he did so. And he's fighting a guy in Nazruddin Nazruddinov, who is kind of a guy who I, like, think of as being one of those, like, classic, you know, Eastern Bloc Russian wrestler types. And he's got some good punches and his ability to, like, stop people with those. But, like, look, he took a majority decision over Corey Hendricks. Do you remember Corey Hendricks? He was on the, like, that really terrible season of the Ultimate Fighter that I think
was
won by...
No, he comes back to the Ultimate Fighter.
Was it won by... Josh? Oh, no, it was... I think it was Andrew Sanchez, the Canadian dude, won that year. Right? And like,
don't ask me, Dan. Like, I remember.
Yeah, I'm pretty sure he was on the season with Andrew Sanchez. So, like, Andrew Sanchez won a contract and this guy didn't. So, he's got – this guy's got decent wrestling and, like, good wrestling in the way that you would expect a Russian to, but, like, not top level. And I think he doesn't want to wrestle Jelton Jr., who is – really well versed at submissions and is just like capable of snatching up a guillotine. So I'm going to take Jelton Jr. here with the upset victory in the main event, which I did again last week, but it didn't work out so great. But I like him here because I think he's got a whole bunch of different ways to finish this fight. The big strength is like, he's very clearly going to have a size advantage on Nazarudinov. And I just, you know, like, Nazarudinov is just a guy who I'm not overly confident on that wrestling side of his game.
There you go. And Dan will have write-ups and all this on the sportsgamblingpodcast.com tomorrow, I take it. And we'll see if you flip-flop in any of your picks.
I won't. Right? I'm on track on this one, I think.
All right, so the Jens, hashtag the Jens want parlays. Do you have any decent parlays for this? Is there any people you want to put together?
So I'd say if I wanted to put people together on this one, because first of all, I want to avoid Mo Miller's line. I want to avoid Brezky's line. I said officially, I think I'm just taking Bittencourt now. If you're going to bet that fight, you got to bet the dog or nothing else. And Almeida's already kind of got a Jelton Jr. / Almeida has already kind of got a juicy enough line that I don't necessarily need to put it in a parlay. So I'm going to say I like I'll take Jesuta Vicious and Madalena and put that in just like a two fight one. That you're going to get plus 250 on those two coming back to kick off the night. Then after you win those first two and you're feeling real good, You can take all your winnings of the plus 250 and sprinkle it on all the underdogs that I sort of like Bittencourt, but I really like Jelton Jr. So you can sprinkle some of the winnings on Jr. after you win that that two fight parlay to kick off the night.
And y'all, you know where you can get this money to sprinkle everything on? You can get it from all the money you're going to save by switching to Mint Mobile. Ha ha.
Good transition.
Very good one. After years of fine print contracts and being ripped off by big wireless providers, if we've learned anything, it's that there's always a catch. So when I first heard that Mint Mobile offers premium wireless service starting at just $15 a month, I thought, what's the catch? But after speaking with them and using their service, it all made sense. There isn't one. Mint Mobile's secret sauce is that they're the first company to sell wireless service online only. By cutting out retail stores, there's no crazy overhead costs that get passed down to you in the form of mystery fees. Instead, Mint just passes on sweet savings directly to you. For people looking at extra savings, Mint Mobile offers premium wireless for just $15 a month. All plans come with unlimited talk and text, plus high-speed data delivered on the nation's largest 5G network. Use your own phone with any Mint Mobile plan and keep your same phone number along with all your existing contacts. And if you're not 100% satisfied, Mint Mobile has you covered with their 7-day money-back guarantee. Switch to Mint Mobile and get premium wireless service starting at just $15 a month. To get your new wireless plan for just $15 a month and get the plan shipped to your door for free, go to mintmobile.com/sportsgp. So it's sport SGP. So mintmobile.com/sportsgp. Cut your wireless bill to $15 a month at mintmobile.com/sportsgp. We're also brought to you by Odds Crowd. If you haven't downloaded the Odds Crowd app yet, you're missing out. The Free World Football Contest is taking place on Odds Crowd this year. $10,000 for the best NFL bettor. Sides are included as well this year. Also, weekly $100 SGPN exclusive contests just for people who have the app downloaded. There's over 30,000 in cash prizes up for grabs across both season-long and weekly contests on NFL and college football. The boys here at SGPN are all taking part, so you can try to claim bragging rights over us too. Here's how it works. Once you enter a contest, you track your bets against real odds and lines, much like you would with any pick tracking app. The most profitable players rise up the leaderboard. If you have the highest profit at the end of the contest, you win. And OddsCrowd isn't just a fantasy betting contest. It's a social app for sports bettors. Free to download. You can live group chat with other bettors, track your bets, set up private fantasy contests with your buddies, and much more. So download the app for free or go to OddsCrowd.com today. And if you download the apps, make sure you download the SGPN app. We are now live in the App Store, Google Play Store. We give you easy access to all our picks, podcasts. You can get alerts every time one of our podcasts drops. You can get access to all our articles on the website and everything you need. And when you do download it, make sure you toss us an app review and enjoy the app. All right. We can do quickly. We'll do part two of John's Got Questions from our SGPN Slack board, which if you guys aren't in it yet, definitely make sure you sign up for SGPN on the Slack network. Lots of fun degenerates in there, guys and gals. So John, one of his many questions, he wanted us to name our the best fighters under 25. So I changed it to 25 and under, since there's a few to be added who are right at the cusp of 25. So Dan and Ashley, we did some work on it, right? You did your research on it.
I did my research on it. And yeah. Before we get started, I want to give you this question. So when I was doing my research on this, I was trying to put together a list. I looked by division for people under 25 to start, and I started at the top and worked my way down. Yep. So you may have already done the same exact research as me here. How many combined in the UFC heavyweights, and I'm going to combine light heavyweights as well, are 25 or under in the whole UFC?
Yeah.
Currently signed to the UFC heavyweights / light heavyweights. How many total in those two divisions are 25 and under?
Yeah, I don't know. I just went with the ones that were ranked the highest on the performance rankings I do on MMA-Manifesto, so I actually don't have the answer, which is good. So I can guess here. Heavyweights and light heavyweights.
25 and under.
All right, so how many fighters are we talking in there? There aren't massive divisions, right?
No, they're smaller divisions. We're probably talking about, like, maybe 40 to 50 in each division, I would say.
Right. So, yeah, maybe about 100 fighters. There's probably, like, I want to say five, but it might even be less than that.
It's one. There is one guy in those divisions that is 25.
Really?
It is. First of all, there's no heavyweights. The youngest heavyweight is Sergey Spivak, who's 26.
Right. Yeah, we just talked about last week.
Which, like, shout out to Sergey Spivak only being 26, because that guy looks like he's 35. And then the only one under, or 25 and under, right, because we're counting 25-year-olds, is Alexa Kamer, the aforementioned
Kamer
from Strong Style MMA. He's the only light heavyweight that's 25 or under.
Wild stuff. Yeah, so when I was going through this, basically all the young fighters are basically in either the lighter weight classes or in the women's division, basically. So I think the women have a bright future with the prospects that I came across, at least. How about we just, like, go back and forth with fighters that are on the list? I think I just did mine based on how they're ranked on the performance rankings on my site. So these aren't really my rankings on the best prospects necessarily, but they're one of the best prospects. The top of the list for my rankings would be Song Yadong, 23-year-old. He's 17-5-1 with one no contest. So he's fought a lot already for 23 years old. And he's a very solid 6-1-1 in the UFC. He's already beaten, like, notable names like Marlon Vera, Casey Kenney. So took Cody Stamann to a draw. So,
He didn't draw Cody Stamann. That was
there we go.
Awful judges.
Oh, that's
that
right.
An awful judge's decision. He should have lost that fight.
There you go. So anyhow, I think, like I said, he's the top of the list. I'm not saying, like, these are necessarily. I didn't necessarily rank them. I just ranked, like I said, based on performance rankings. But I'm sure he's probably close to the top of your list also, or he's at least on your list, right?
I want to say he was – so I have a list here. I didn't count how many. Hang on.
I think I had 13 on mine.
I think I have 15 on mine. There are 15 on mine. And he was probably – if I had to number him, he's definitely top five. Like no question, top five. I'd probably have to do some debating and digging into it, but he's definitely top five. But I'll tell you who's number one for me as far as guys 25 and under, and that's Ilia Topuria.
He's second on my list here.
Yeah, like he has to be, right? Because not only did he just knock Ryan Hall silly, which is worth something, but like jiu-jitsu is the best part of his game. Right, like he knocked Ryan Hall silly, and he's got like another. Who else did he knock out? I can't even remember now. We're gonna put
that. 3 knockouts, 7 submissions as a pro. He knocked out Damon Jackson before that.
Oh yeah, he knocked out Damon the Leech Jackson, which is also like a nice knockout victory. But like, that's not the best part of his game. The best part of his game is like his takedowns and his crazy good submission wins. Back in Cage Warriors, because he used to fight in Cage Warriors, he fought this this Belgian guy named Brian Bouland, who I'm like a big fan of Brian Bouland. I think he's like very, very good, has like a ton of potential, probably going to get signed to the Contender Series at one point in time in his life. And he just like put that dude out in like no time at all with an anaconda choke. And I do mean put out. He didn't get him to tap with the anaconda choke. He put him cold with an anaconda choke and won the Bantamweight Championship. Although I think he missed weight, so technically
yeah, he missed weight, so he didn't.
He wasn't allowed to win it, but yeah. But then like immediately went to featherweight and started doing that same thing to featherweights because he's just like an absolute animal. So he's like, he's part of that movement of Georgians coming to the UFC. He's absolutely incredible with his hands. He's incredible with his wrestling. He's incredible with his submissions. Like I think you're going to see him fight guys like. Like, I would love to see him fight Bryce Mitchell because I actually think he would tool on Bryce Mitchell in, like, a violent way because I think he could stay on his feet in the wrestling department. And as far as striking goes, he vastly outmatches Bryce Mitchell. So, yeah, Topuria for me is clearly, like, the one. And then, like, we have to take a big step before we get to number two.
Yeah, so you think he's way above Yadong for sure then?
Yeah, and I actually, if you don't mind me scooping in here and putting my number.
Go ahead.
Because I do have Song Yadong. I think he's somewhere between 3 and 5. Like I said, he's definitely top 5. But it's 1, big step, 2, big step, then 3 through 5, all basically touching each other. And number 2 for me is Armon Zakurian.
That's who Jong. Jong said we better mention Armon Zakurian. So there we go. We are mentioning him.
You have to mention Armon Zakurian because, like, dude, he's such a good wrestler. Like, he took that short notice fight in his debut and looked amazing doing it. And, like, is he flawless? No, he's not flawless. Like, he's got stuff to work on. He's got some wrestling to work on. Because he did get out-wrestled by Islam Makhachev, but, like, looked great doing it. And as he moves up in the division, that could be a problem. But he beat the hell out of Olivier Aubin-Mercier. He beat the hell out of Dabi Hamosh. He beat the hell out of Matt Frivola. He took Matt Frivola down like 150 times. It was brutal. And Matt Frivola likes to wrestle. So he's on a 3-fight winning streak. He's ranked at lightweight, if I'm not mistaken, now by the UFC. So like he's a guy for sure that you have to talk about. And like I said, for me it was 1, big step, 2, big step. And then there's, like I said, 3 or 4 guys tied at, like, 3 through 6 that you could put them in any order and it really wouldn't matter.
Yeah, I think Yadong's rated higher on mine because he's already fought 8 times in the UFC, which is insane considering how young he is.
He is crazy.
I know. All right, how about the next guy I got on here? So I had Brendan Allen.
He was one of the ones I had in that, like, Song Yadong section.
Yeah, he is December 28th, he will be turning 26, but as of now, he is on our list. He is, what, 17-4 as a pro, so he's another one of those guys who's fought a crazy amount of time, despite being a youngster. 5-1 in the UFC, a former LFA middleweight champ. His UFC record, he submitted Kevin Holland, TKO Tom Breeze, beat Kyle Dawkins for decision loss. Lost Sean Strickland. That's the only person he lost to at catchweight fight, nonetheless, too, above his weight class. Submitted Carl Robertson and then beat Ponahele Soriano via decision in his last fight. So,
and that was the most impressive one, despite the fact that he like finished those other dudes. And like people are super high on Kevin Holland, which, by the way, I haven't been for a while. That fight with Puna was by far the best fight of his because it showed he could box. He like didn't even get into his wrestling And I think that's probably why he's on this list for me, because when he got beat by Sean Strickland, I was like, oh, it looks like this guy can't hang with his boxing. And then it turns out that loss aged really well, and he's just really, really good at boxing too, because he outboxed Puna, which is no small feat. Yeah, so I had him on that list. I'll tell you another one who I had in this, because you just said, and it just triggered the memory that you had him saying that he's aging out of this technical list in December. I have one that's aging out sooner than that. I have one that's aging it out in a month and 5 days from the
it's
time.
It's the next guy on my list, I bet. Go ahead.
It's Raleon Paiva, right?
Like, no, it's not. No, I didn't have him on my list. So I
Raleon Paiva needs to be on that list, dude, because, like, he, first of all, he had a really tough time when he first got to the UFC. He lost a split decision to Kai Kara-France, and then the doctor stopped his next fight for a cut against Rogério Bontorin. And, like, he was 0-2, and people were like, he's trash at flyweight. He immediately starched Mark De La Rosa, beat the hell out of Shalgas Shumagulov, and then after missing weight was like, that's cool, I'll fight at bantamweight. And he beat Kyler Phillips, who was ranked in his debut at bantamweight on short notice, nevertheless. The other cool thing about him is, like, he's got good submissions and good, like, kickboxing, and now he's training at Alpha Male to, like, shore up his wrestling. And as much as I've never been much of a, like, an Alpha Male guy, like, it's the perfect marriage of, like, a young prospect who clearly has one area where if it gets better, he'll be a murderer. He'll, like, just kill everybody he's fighting. And, like, he found the right team to fix that thing for him, right? Like, everybody at Alpha Male can wrestle. So, like, and also Sonya Dong's at Alpha Male too, right?
Yeah, I think so.
He's going to wrestle guys like Sonya Dong and Uriah Faber and guys who are his same size and who have tons of wrestling background. So it's just like, it's a great spot for him. And I think it was him, Brendan Allen, Sonya Dong, and there's one other guy I'll mention too, if you don't mention him next, that like next is right next year.
Right. This person is, no, he's not aging out actually next year. It was, how about Jimmy the Brute Crude? Was he the one?
I had him on my list, but not that high. So you can talk about Jimmy the Brute Crew too if you want, but I'll mention real quickly in here. I had Edmund Shabazian was the other one.
He's on the list too.
Despite his like recent like really shitty looking losses lately, like they were to Derek Brunson. Like we can excuse a loss to Derek Brunson. I actually think he's got like a really bright future. But anyway, tell me about Jimmy the Brute Crew, because
Does he have a bright future though, Shabazian, with the camp he's fighting out of, Dan?
I think so. People love to shit on Edmund Tavarian. I get why, right? Because like Ronda came up and didn't need to box, right? And then everybody's like, he's a terrible boxing instructor. But, like, then Edmund Shabazian boxed some dudes up when he was in the UFC. And, like, his older brother is not that either, Leon Shabazian. He was on the Contender Series and did get a contract or whatever. And he can box a little bit. I think we overestimate how much of, like, Ronda's failed boxing was largely due to the fact that, like, she never had to box anybody in a bad situation. Like, nothing ever went wrong for her. People were so afraid of getting taken down that they sometimes just, like, forgot that they had to box, too. Because she knocked out Betch Kohea, right? Like, and it wasn't because she was a better boxer than Betch Kohea, because, spoiler alert, Betch Kohea is actually a better boxer than Ronda Rousey. It was that, like, Betch was terrified of being taken down and so terrified that she didn't guard her face. But I actually think Edmund Shabazian does have a bright future. I think people are a little more harsher on Edmund Tavarian than they need to be. Like, he's just so easy to meme because you just yell head movement, and it's like,
yes,
you know, like, it's like, it's almost like he deserved a little ribbing for that, and it then just, like, absolutely derailed the fact that he's probably not a really terrible coach.
Now, before we actually get off Shabazian, he is 35, six times in the UFC. He's already headlined in the UFC, and he's only 23 years old. He'll be 24 November the 20th. He is 11-2, but he has dropped his last two fights, but they were to Jack Hermanson and Derek Brunson. So,
but he also knocked out Brad Tavares.
He knocked out Brad Tavares, submitted Jack Marshman, TKO Charles Byrd, beat Darren Stewart via decision. So all veterans.
That's a crazy
and all
list, dude.
Yep. Yep, very, very bright future for him. Back to Jimmy the Brute Crute, another one of the Australian contingent of fighters. He's fighting Jamahal Hill. You may want to call him Jamahal Hill, but I call him Jamahal Hill because that's how it's spelled. He's supposed to fight October 2nd, but it got bumped up to December the 4th. But the fight is still intact. He is, as a pro, where is he? Crute, 12-2. 4-2 in the UFC. His UFC career is gone. He submitted Paul Craig. So that's enough right there to get you on the list, right?
Yeah. I mean, like, submitted
in his
Paul
debut.
Craig. Submitted
his
Paul
debut.
Craig put you near the top of the list. Although, like, yeah. I guess maybe I should have put him in the Song Yadong tier.
Yeah, because he submitted Paul Craig. Then he TKO'd Sam Alvey, which is not
it's not easy
to
do. Nope. It's not easy to knock that bastard down.
Lost, got submitted by Misha Sirkunov, which no shame there, really. Then submitted Mikhail Oleshejak.
Oleshejak.
Then KO'd Modestus Bukauskas, and then lost to Anthony Smith, which is no shame in that either. So,
but the loss to Anthony Smith is also kind of fluky, too, because and it was – he got kicked in that weird nerve in your leg that gives you drop foot,
right,
couldn't bend his foot. But, like, even with the weird drop foot, he took down Anthony Smith, which is, like – dude, that's pretty damn impressive because Anthony Smith's a – I mean, like, we're going to see him main event this upcoming weekend – he's sometimes not the easiest dude to take down.
All right, let's talk about your favorite. Let's talk about Macy Barber, Dan.
She's not on my list, first of all, because she lost her last fight.
well, let's read her resume off. I'm not saying, you know, whether she's good or not. It's just she's only 23. She won't be 24 till next May. She is 9-2 as a pro, has only fought in LFA and the UFC. And
she's 8-3 as a pro.
Okay.
She lost her last fight to Miranda Maverick. Who was the one I was going to mention.
I know. Miranda Maverick is definitely on the list. TKO'd Hannah Cyphers, TKO'd J.J. Aldridge, TKO'd Jillian Robertson, lost to Roxy Modafferi, lost to Alexa Grasso, lost to Miranda Maverick. Ha ha.
Thank you for changing that result to what it actually ought to be.
Nothing. I know she's annoying and she didn't deserve that win, but that's still a very good resume for a 23-year-old.
It is, but, like, let's talk about Miranda Mavericks then. Her resume looks way better if you consider the fact that she should have won that fight against – like, there's no reason to give that fight to Macy Barber. Whoever gave that fight to Macy Barber wasn't watching that fight, first of all. I'm pretty sure we looked that one up on MMA Decisions at the time, right? And it was – There was nobody who gave it to Macy Barber. I'll look it up real quick while we're doing it. But, like, with that being said, Miranda Maverick has wins over Leanna Jojua, which, by the way, that win aged so well because Leanna Jojua looks really good now. I actually was going to put her on this list, and then I saw she was 26 or 27, and I was like, oh, damn, that's a shame. But, like, she pieced her up on the feet. Then she dominated Jillian Roberts on the ground. Like, dude, that's incredible. And then likely beat Macy Barber. Only to get, like, absolutely screwed out of a decision. So, like, she should be on this list. Yeah, I'm looking right now. There are 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10, 11, 12, 13, 14, 15, 16, 17, 18, 19, 20, 21, 22 media members who scored that fight. All 22 of them scored it Maverick 29-28. All 22 of them agreed identically that Miranda Maverick won rounds 1 and 2 and lost round 3, and somehow Sal D'Amato and Dave Hagen disagreed and gave Macy Barber a ridiculous round 2 victory.
What do media know? We think that UFC fighters are underpaid, so we obviously don't know what
we're
talking
about.
That's
right, we're idiots. speaking of people who got screwed out of a decision that I do want to mention here, Kate Hansen should be on this list.
Yeah, she is. She's on my list, yep.
Yeah,
22
like,
years old and only...
And she lost that recent fight to the Welsh girl with a really soft voice that Uriah Faber calls the Hobbit, another alpha male female.
Oh, yeah.
Corey McKenna. She lost that decision to Corey McKenna. She did not lose that fight. Corey McKenna did not beat Kay Hansen. Kay Hansen should have won that fight. So, like, two women right there who were screwed out of decisions. I know we're running short on time. I just want to shout out the rest of the people who I have on my list real quick. Shout out to Casey O'Neill, who's a beast.
The King, she's on the list. Yep.
Yeah, almost no fights so far.
7-0 and 2-0 in the UFC.
Right. Melissa Gatto, she just fought her first fight in the UFC. She's only 1-0, but like her submission game looks really good, and I don't know if she's good enough to actually be on the list because I've only seen her once. And when we broke down her fight, I was like, there's no film on her. It pretty much doesn't exist. But it's like, I want to see more of it. And one of my personal favorite women under 25 is Luma Lukabume.
She's under. I didn't realize that she was that young, or I would have put her on the list.
I don't think she's just that young. I think she's like, if I'm not mistaken, I don't even think she's 25. She is 25. She turns 26 in January, so she just barely fits.
Okay.
She has wins over Alexander Albu, Jinyu Fry, Sam Hughes, and like a close decision with Angela Hill at 25. And not for anything, she's not a strawweight. She's an atomweight, and she's fighting Angela Hill. I mean, like, that's a really impressive run. And also shout-out to Jeff Molina, too. Jeff Molina is a very fun flyweight training with James Krause and gang, and he's only 1-0, but, like, you know what we didn't mention? I actually don't have this guy on my list. But
I have more people on my list. I'm not done yet.
Is one of them Ignacio Bahamandes?
No, he's not.
Is he under 25?
I don't
know. I know lost his debut to John McDessie, and it was, like, a close back and forth, but he's also, like, up for knockout of the year now. I'm going to Google it because I just mentioned him. Now I'm hoping he's actually that young. Go ahead. You tell me your next one.
All right. I look up.
Is young enough.
How about the Colombian queen, Sabina Mazo? She showed up on my list. She is only 24 years old. She won't be 25 until next March. She is former LFA flyweight champ, 9-2 as a pro, 3-2 in the UFC. She just lost to Alexis Davis, but she beat Justine Kish, J.J. Aldridge, Shayna Dobson. And she fought a bunch in LFA, too. So I think she is deserving of a shout-out for sure.
Yeah, she's worth shouting out, especially now that we're in this point. By the way, Bahamandes, only 24.
There you go. So
definitely worth the mention, too. I like Mazda.
Yep. I have Wu Yanan, even though he's 1-3 in the UFC.
Out of her by Gina Mazzani, right?
Yeah, she beat Lauren. Yeah, no, she beat Lauren Mueller. Never mind.
Who's no longer in the UFC?
Exactly. She did not deserve to be on the list.
She also lost to Mizuki Inoue. In a fight where Mizuki Inoue, I'm pretty sure, has also fought at atomweight, and Yanan Wu has fought at bantamweight.
I accidentally said he instead of her also, so my apologies if you're listening, Ms. Wu Yanan.
Yeah, and also, didn't she lose to Jocelyn Edwards on, like, 4 minutes' notice? Like, they just found Jocelyn Edwards, like, hanging out.
Yeah, right. Yes, they did, yes.
If she beat the hell out of her. But you know who we should mention, too? It reminded me, because my list is gone now, but I'm also now just flying off the cusp. While we're speaking of fighters from China, isn't Sumu Derji under 25?
He's on my screen right now. He is 25. He's turning 26 in January. He is the Tibetan Eagle, is 14-4, 3-1 in the UFC already. So he's another one of those guys who have fought a hell of a lot of times.
And the only loss in the UFC is to Luis Smolka, and it happened like a long time ago, and then he like took a chunk of time off, came back, beat the hell out of Sukumta, Zurugadashev. He knocked out Malcolm Gordon in like 2 seconds or something like that. He looked really good coming back.
Yep, no doubt. So that concludes my list. But I didn't put too much effort into it because that's not what we do on this show here.
Shout out to Alexa Kamer too. We mentioned him at
the beginning. You mentioned him earlier.
Mentioned him at the beginning. He's he's the only light heavyweight who's under 26. So you have to like assume.
It's true.
His future should be bright just because he's in the UFC now. Like he's like very physically gifted, but I'm like, I'm not really sold on his skills yet. But like, I don't know. You're training at a good team. You're only 25 years old. You're the only guy in the division who's even close to that age. Yeah, he's worth a shout out.
Yep, for sure. All right, I think we nailed it, Dan. We nailed it. Anything else that we need to talk about?
No.
Are we good to go?
We covered Anderson Silva, so that.
True. What more can we say than that?
Listen to us Wednesday when we actually break down a UFC card again for the first time in like four episodes.
And it's Smith versus Spann is going to be. Dan's going to tell us why it's an amazing card when we come
There's
back on Wednesday.
There's 15 fights on it. That's enough already. Three or four of them fall out due to coronavirus.
Like Jim Miller's fallen off already, so maybe that fight will be gone now.
Yeah, and they filled in with a guy, by the way.
Oh, did they?
They have a replacement already for Jim Miller, or not for Jim Miller, for Nicholas Moda, right, is the guy who is supposed to fight Jim Miller, which, by the way, weird move to make Jim Miller supposedly fight a guy who's making his pro debut, or his UFC debut, rather. Also, this is the first time Jim Miller's pulled out of any fight in a 50-fight career.
Sad to
have to say that. No, they filled in with a guy who I had literally never heard of. Like, they wrote his name, and I was like, that's not a real person. Come on. His name is Cameron Van Camp.
That's not a real person.
I was like, that doesn't sound right. And I saw that he had he's on a four-fight winning streak, and I was like, oh, I guess that's worthy. He's got a few submissions in there. But the four-fight winning streak was broken up by the fact that he had a loss before the beginning of that four-fight winning streak in Shamrock FC to, get this, tell me if you've heard this name before, Bobby Volker.
I know that guy.
Yeah.
That's a strike from way back.
Strike Force's Bobby Volker.
Yes.
Didn't he main event a Strike Force card?
Or Challengers or one of those cards.
Yeah, M1 Challengers. Strike Force
had Challengers series.
Yeah, it was against Roger Bowling. Remember Roger Bowling?
I do. I remember those names. Yeah. I forgot there was breaking news while we're recording. Conor McGregor got into a scuffle with Machine Gun Kelly at the Video Music Awards. Yes. So. I didn't even know there was Video Music Awards anymore. There isn't music videos anymore. They still have awards for it though.
By the way, I got Machine Gun Kelly at +130. So
dude, he does have size on him. He's a tall dude, right?
I don't know. I like his reach though, whatever it is. I don't know if he's tall or not, but I've seen a picture of him and he is lanky.
He is a lanky dude. It's true. All right, so now we've given you all the info you need to know. Like Dan said, we will be back Wednesday with our preview of, as of now, it's Smith versus Spann. Hopefully that stays intact. I wouldn't mind if, 2 to 5 more fights fall off the card. No!
15 fight cards all the time.
Oh, God, Dan. Okay. You can do the results for the website on Saturday night, so I don't have to watch all 15 fights live. In the meantime, read all our stuff. sportsgamblingpodcast.com, MMA-manifesto.com. Listen to Dan's Top Turtle MMA podcast and his prelim primer podcast. Now that there's actual fights this week, he will be picking the prelim fights on that podcast. Follow us on Twitter, Jeff Fox Writer, and he is Gumby Vreeland, and he's going to do the take us on this episode since I did the last one.
As he said before, I'm Daniel Gumby Vreeland. He is Juicy Jeff Fox, and we will catch you on Wednesday for a phenomenal 15 fight card.